broadcasting live from the beautiful Cobb Galleria Center in Atlanta, Georgia, at TAG Summit 2020. Now, here are your Business Radio X hosts.
And we are back, and we're in full swing, broadcasting live here from Cobb Galleria Center. Lee Cantor, Stone Payton here with you. We're at TAG Summit 2020. Lee, this is going to be a fantastic segment. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast with a little company you may have heard of called Google, Mr. Stephen Ichatha. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Yeah, we're a little company you may have heard of.
Yeah, so Stephen, tell us about Google's relationship with TAG. Why is that important for Google to be involved with TAG?
Oh, great question. So, I mean, TAG is the premier organization here in Georgia that promotes technology and advancement. And as you know, Google's a technology company. So marrying the two, the fact that we're a technology company and being associated with one of the biggest organizations in the United States, frankly, as it relates to technology, it's a no-brainer for us.
Now, how important is it for Google when they come into a community or a metro area like Atlanta to immerse themselves in the community and get and have their people get actively involved with associations like TAG? Is that kind of part of the DNA of the organization?
It is. You're spot on. It's part of our DNA. It's part of our culture, right? So fortunately, Google has been fortunate to call Georgia home for the last 19 years, since 2001. And there's a lot of amazing local talent in the area and a really strong spirit of innovation and entrepreneurship. So thinking about innovation, entrepreneurship, and just community involvement, there's no other partner that we'd like to have than with TAG.
Now, when you came here on behalf of Google and you kind of got used to the Atlanta, maybe the rhythm of Atlanta, which might be different than other parts of the country, what are some of your kind of the pros and cons of the metro Atlanta area? What are your favorite parts?
Oh, Atlanta is a great community, right? So the thing that I like about Atlanta is just the Atlanta workforce, right? The ability to get folks in Atlanta who are very qualified, people who are supported by higher institutions like Georgia State, Georgia Tech, and others in Atlanta area, and also the community, right? So as Google continues to expand across the state, we remain very committed and fully committed to supporting the local community. And we continue to find more ways to deepen our engagement. And so that's why it's important to have partnerships like TAG, is to have that sort of inroads into the community that we live in.
Now, when it comes to this event, the summit, where you're getting to see some of the most innovative companies in the state all in one place like this, how does Google, you know, impact all of these companies? Everybody's using Google, I'm sure, to some degree or another. But how does Google kind of try to immerse themselves within all of this innovation here at this kind of an event?
So there's a lot of innovation, right? And one of the big things about innovation is finding a partner, an enabler to enable that innovation. And so Google is proud to be an enabler of companies that are seeking to innovate, seeking to engage, seeking to transform. And so our ability to empower communities, our ability to empower entrepreneurs, our ability to empower other companies, small and large businesses, the consumer, that's important to us, and that's what Google does.
Now, is there something that you can maybe educate our listeners about how companies work with Google in ways that might surprise people that maybe they didn't realize that Google can help in that in those areas?
Very good. So how much time do we have?
Look, it's all about you, Stephen.
Okay. So Google is well known as a search engine. So when you think about search and giving people the ability to organize information and make it accessible and make it useful to them. So a search engine is a big thing, right? Some people do not know about the products we have, right? Mm-hmm. Like the Pixel phone. So thinking about the Pixel phone as a phone that runs on our Android system and a phone that's, you know, very useful to a lot of people, not just in communicating with loved ones, but even the ability to have things like voice assist, right? Things like live transcribe, things like the camera. So just a lot of full features that come in the hardware that are able to enable people themselves to communicate but also enable their companies to conduct business.
Now, you're part of a, is it a panel or it's a breakout session about diversity and inclusion in the workplace?
That's absolutely right. Very happy to be engaged in diversity and inclusion in the workplace. And yes, I'll be a member of a panel in a breakout session and talk about diversity and inclusion as it relates to innovation and the workforce.
Now, is that your role primarily at Google?
I think it should be everyone's role. It's not a primary role per se. I do think a lot of people at Google find it their personal responsibility to engage in things that enable community, and D&I is definitely one of those.
So now in technology firms, what are some ways that technology companies can kind of elevate maybe diversity and inclusion to a higher level?
Well, so one of the things I like to do is just to ground folks in definition. And so I have an operational definition of diversity and inclusion that I'd like to share with you.
Fire
if that's
away.
Okay. So liken diversity to inviting different people to a party, and inclusion, ensuring those people at the party have a good time. So the two of them have to go together. Mm-hmm. So when we say, hey, we want a diverse workforce, that's good, diverse in all the different elements. But beyond that is ensuring that people's voices are heard and that they're included in conversations. So if you base yourself on the notion of diversity and inclusion in everything that you do, whether it's in product, whether it's in research, whether it's in customer service, then you can see how innovation will come out. Innovation is almost like it comes out naturally in those places where diversity and inclusion are intentionally practiced.
Right. I think that it's one of those things where a lot of companies give lip service to diversity and inclusion in terms of, okay, they count how many people they hired or whatever. It's more like that. And it's less about where maybe some of the senior people are investing in some of these lesser served people to give them a true opportunity, a true seat at the table. Do you have any advice for companies in order to risk some political capital within their organization to try to create more diversity at higher and higher levels of an organization?
Very good. So I believe diversity and inclusion are intentional practices, right? So you have to go in with the intent. It's not a checkbox. How many diverse candidates do I have, right? And so when you think about the role that the company has to play in the community and you step back, and you think about communities being underrepresented in a workforce, then that's a problem. So if you intentionally bring in representatives of your community in your workforce, then you can design products and services for a diverse range of customers and communities. And what then happens is you have a better user experience and, frankly, accelerated business growth.
Right. I think it's short-sighted in a lot of companies when they have a senior leadership that all looks the same, that they could be missing out on opportunities just by bringing more diverse people into the room just to catch things that just might not be on their radar. It's not anything personal, but it's just that they lack the awareness because their friend group or their group, the people they're hanging around the most, just aren't diverse enough, and they don't understand what's happening day to day for other groups of people.
That's a very good observation, right? So some companies maybe naturally emerged in a way where there's not much diversity in the leadership. And I do frankly believe that a lot of companies really seek to have a diverse leadership. But that doesn't mean you cannot be inclusive or put intentional practices.
Right.
So as an example, at Google we have employee resource groups. And these are groups that represent different communities, Black, Latinx, Gaglers, Greyglers, all different types of Googlers. And these ERGs are very active in providing a lens for decision making. So even if, say, you have a workforce that's not totally diverse or represented at the leadership level, you can still engage people who are part of employee resource groups, as an example, to provide that guidance and that lens.
And I think by having those kind of groups, and I'm seeing more and more companies kind of embrace that kind of thinking where they do have a place, a safe place for these people to hang out, And then senior leadership can, they can find them and they can have conversations if they so choose. But I think at this stage of our evolution as business people, a lot of this stuff has to be done on purpose, and you can't just let it happen organically. Like, it takes an effort. It takes somebody to be the catalyst and the champion and really, you know, move the ball. The ball isn't going to move itself. Maybe it will eventually over time, but that's going to be very slow. But I think that it requires more and more intentionality and leadership having the foresight to add more people to the mix and to champion people, not just say, okay, we hired this many people of this group.
I like the word you've used over and over again, and I will use that same word, which is intentionality. So Anthony Mays, who's one of Googlers who really promotes DEI, has been quoted as saying, if you do not intentionally include, you'll unintentionally exclude. So if you go into any sort of discussion, any sort of product release, by the virtue of you not including a group or including a voice, you'll unintentionally include a
right.
voice.
Right. And you see some of this in maybe in healthcare, where all of the testing around some disease has been with a certain group of people. And then all of a sudden they're like, well, it doesn't work. The drug doesn't work as good in this group. It's like, well, you didn't test it in that group.
You'd be surprised. I mean, you can Google a lot of such cases, right? You know, I once read about crash tests that did not include females in the crash test. And,
right.
And so that automatically excludes a huge community. There's a lot of products that we've innovated because we heard a voice of a group that's underrepresented. We have a really good example about a Google Transcribe, which is basically a way in which someone who's suffering from hearing loss can get a transcribed version of conversation. So thinking about a group of people of whom no one has experienced hearing loss, how would you innovate
right.
on a product like that?
Exactly. It's not even in your radar. And again, I'm not saying these people are evil people that are purposely excluded. People, it's just it's not on their radar to even consider.
That's what innovation is about.
Right. And that's where innovation happens, is around the edges.
Yep.
When you bring a diverse group of people together and each one has a different kind of life experience, they see the same thing a little differently. And if people can capture that little difference, that's where the new product happens. That's where the new service happens.
And that's my definition of innovation, right? Innovation is bringing inclusive practices, and it gains, you know, surplus marks if it's serving an underserved community.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff. Well, so how are you going to attack the summit today? I know you're doing that breakout session, but is there any companies here you're excited to learn more about?
I'm just excited to see all the companies here. Frankly, you know, TAG has this ability to bring all these different local companies that strengthen Atlanta and strengthen Georgia. So I don't want to pick on any one company. I'm excited to represent Google. I'm glad to see my Google friends here, but also glad to see the other local Atlanta companies.
Now, any advice for that, maybe the young person that is starting out in their career and that they know about TAG, but how would you kind of give them the advice to get the most out of their TAG membership?
Obviously, sign up for TAG, attend as many events as possible, network, get to know people, because you just never know what type of influence they will have on your life or what type of influence you will have on theirs, right? I was once given advice a long time ago. I was told, be bold. So I would advise anyone who's early in their career to be bold, take your ideas, present them, be bold, support them, have confidence in them, be bold. And people will see that boldness in you, and they will appreciate it.
And then getting involved in an organization like TAG, and that gives you a chance to kind of be bold in front of people that maybe aren't part of your team at work, but it can be your next job. It can be your next opportunity when people see you acting in the way that they'd like you to act, right?
I don't know. What are you saying? You don't think Google's my best job?
there's opportunity everywhere, right?
No, absolutely. Yeah. I think more than picking and choosing is just the ability of multiple people to come mm-hmm. together. And I mean, you can see it in the ballroom. There's all people from all organizations just having a good time and sharing best practices. And those best practices then uplift the community. And that's what it's about.
Good stuff. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story and for doing the work you're doing.
Absolutely. Thank you. Appreciate you having me.
All right. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We'll be back in a few at the summit.